Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Brack, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight. As of this moment, I'm still waiting for Nicole to log on. I'm not sure where she is at the moment, but I hope she will be joining us shortly. Tomorrow night, I will be having my play, The Menu, which is sort of a science fiction, maybe spiritual play. It's in the Kingdom Theater in Manhattan, if you would like to attend. The information's on Facebook. So since Nicole's not here, I'm going to probably jump in and just try to get the first person who's been holding for a while and see what they may have on their mind. The last four digits of your phone number are 0852. Hello, you're live and on the air.
Hey, Cindy, it's Kristen.
I knew it was Kristen. That's why I felt kind of confident to pick it up. Sometimes we get a little scared when there's no screening, you know. But it's usually the computer numbers, the ones that just say 0000 whatever, that, you know, can be a little crazy. So how are you, Kristen, today?
I'm doing okay. I think I got, like, a little bug, so I'm trying to get a little better. But
everybody else has a little bug. You know, I just hear from a lot of my clients who are not feeling well.
Something's going around.
Yep. So other than not feeling 1,000% well, what else is happening in your life?
Well, it's something pretty cool. It was, I think, Halloween Eve. I was playing with a charm that I have. It's like a sun charm where the sun shines through and it makes a prism.
Oh, wow.
So I hung it up. And yeah, before I hung it up, I remembered, you know, that you can communicate with spirits with, you know, a charm on a chain. So I decided to just try it out and see if it worked. And I got in touch with James. So it was cool.
Oh, that your soulmate, you reached him?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, I believe it was him.
Yes, it was. And interesting because you did it on Halloween Eve, and that's a time when the veil between the two worlds is actually the thinnest. So I'm not surprised that you would have been able to contact and reach. I don't know if you know that the veil is the thinnest at that point in time. So
I think I saw you post something about that, no?
Right. I don't really notice any difference, because the vortex is always open for me, so I don't notice significant difference. But for people who are not usually doing the psychic world, I think it's more evident and obvious. So, of course, also, he liked Halloween, your soulmate, if you remember that. So I think it was kind of fun for him to, you know, give you a little message or a sign. Did you feel his energy a little more peaceful? Because he seems much more peaceful than he was, you know, the first, you know, time when I talked to him. So did you get any sense of peace from him?
It was a happy moment. It was neat to be able to communicate. So I did have a positive energy going about. So I would say so, yeah.
Wow. And, you know, with you, I would just keep playing with it, you know, with the, you know, with, because it seems to be a divining tool for you. Each person kind of needs to find a tool for themselves. Some people, it could be crystals. Some people it could be tarot cards or angel cards. For some people, it's astrology. There's usually something, you know, yours is sort of like a pendulum you were kind of using. That kind of worked as that, the charm. Right. So, you know, do you feel confident to try to use that again?
I'm very excited to keep trying it out. And it's just a little challenging to get, you can only do so much with a charm, you know, back and forth, circles, make it stop. So I got to think about other ways to try and get it or to communicate and stuff like that. It's fun, though.
Well, it's
really
just,
cool.
Again, we're just trying to open the vortex a little bit, okay? And spirit, okay. You know, will back away from us if we get scared. And they also, you know, when you start doing something like this, you're telling spirit that you're open for communication. So, you know, just, you know, keep doing that. He seems to be a person who, you know, your soulmate loves to have you kind of communicate to him. So he's a good communicator as well. And you pay attention to your dreams. Do you ever try to astral travel to him to see him in the dream plane? Has that happened yet?
I don't know if, like, I'm a little too scared and there's that apprehension in the back of my mind. Because it hasn't happened yet, but
yeah,
I want it to happen.
It can be fear because, remember, your soul's going to have to leave your body. It's attached with a cord, but it's going to leave. And, you know, for some people, they tend to get scared. It wakes them. You know, it disturbs them. But I would just put it out there to the universe that, you would love to try it and, you know, see what happens.
Okay.
And, you know, you're supposed to have a little fun when you're opening the spirit world, too. You know what I mean? And for the most part, like, people sometimes get afraid, are they going to open an ugly vortex? I would say don't do this stuff when you're stoned or drunk, okay? Like,
right.
That's not a good time to do it, you know?
Right.
So as long as you're stone cold sober, that's really good. And remember, we have our spirit guides that protect us. And, you know, I've never told this story online, and I really have never, I don't think I've ever told it to many people at all, but I had an experience about, I think it was maybe 7 years ago, and I actually couldn't do the show on a Thursday night because the night before, you know, before I was kind of sort of meditating, and I had this experience where I felt like I had, I'd astral traveled. Then it wasn't just that mutual plane where we're supposed to go to. It's, you know, it's not our plane and it's not their plane. It's a mutual plane. And
right.
I felt all of a sudden, and all of a sudden I heard like real chaos coming from the other side, like screaming, like spirit guides going, oh my God, no. Oh no, this is bad. Oh my God, this is terrible. What happened? What happened? Get her out of here. Get her out of here. And
oh, no.
I all of a sudden like kind of sprung back onto like this earth plane, and I heard my spirit guide saying, you need to go to the emergency room. You were not supposed to go in the vortex that you went into because that's the other side. And I was like, wait, I didn't do anything. And they said, no, it wasn't your fault. It's heavily guarded, and we have no idea. They said, some spirit guide up there will be held accountable. We have no idea how you got in there, but technically you're not supposed to return to Earth. You're going to have a stroke. You have to go to the emergency room immediately. So, of course, I had to cancel my show, and, yeah, my blood pressure was stroke level. It was frightening and horrifying, okay?
My goodness.
But I heard, like, something I've never heard before, like, this is bad. This is really bad, okay? And meanwhile, it was not my glitch at all. I didn't do anything that I was supposed to, okay? I wasn't trying to get in there. And so why I think they let me come back was I really didn't see anything, okay? It was just like I had sort of opened a door, but it was dark. And, you know, I didn't see anything, nothing. So I wasn't going to bring back any hidden secrets with me, okay?
Right.
So,
right.
But
wow.
But remember, I'm a person that's been doing this for, it was probably about then time, maybe 24 years or so. I think what occurred was I'm probably not as heavily guarded because I do go, you know, into Akashic records. So the Akashic records do lie in that realm. It's just a special vault, but I don't go into the actual realm that I went. So I think it's because I'm normally allowed in the Akashic records that maybe the guard that was supposed to be watching it wasn't really paying as much attention. I'm sure if you were doing it or someone who's not had access, that would have never occurred. So I'm not trying to scare anybody because I think it was a real fluke, you know? So, you know,
and even then, yeah.
And I've actually not talked about it because it was so traumatizing to me that I, you know, and they told me, don't worry, the chance of that ever happening is slim to nothing. Okay. And again, it was not my glitch. It was nothing that I had done at all. So that's one of those experiences that I said I would hope not happen to anyone at all. And was, you know, of course, when I went to the emergency room at Southside Hospital, everybody there knows me, you know, like I have clients all over the place. Everybody's talking to me and everybody's asking me questions. And, you know, the doctor comes in and said, you know, she's a patient. Can you leave her alone? And he said, is this what your life is like? No one leaves you alone. Everybody. And he said, I don't really know what you do for a living. I don't necessarily believe in it, but these people all seem to believe in you. And, you know, he was like, you know, they just like gave me some fluid and gave me some meds to get the, you know, the blood pressure down. And I was like fine by the next day, but it was just a very scary experience. So I'm sure that isn't going to happen to anyone that's, you know, other than me, because I heard the screaming, I don't think that happens very often. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was like every alarm possibly went off that you could imagine, you know, and being that it wasn't my due date to die, you know, they were like, just get her out of here. So I'm glad you brought up your little thing. And, you know, and I would say to people, you don't have to be afraid. You have spirit guides watching over you, guarding you. And it's just really a fun experience to open up, you know, the vortex and, you know, experience things. But I'm glad you shared that with us because it's an interesting thing. So keep doing that. You may want to, if you want to talk to him a little better, maybe get a deck of angel cards. You know, some of the cards like Dorian Virtues tell you what they mean right on the cards. So it's not like the Rider Waite tarot deck that I use. It doesn't have the meaning on the card. You have to really study them. But some angel cards do not. What'd you say?
I've seen the angel cards before where they just say like a sentence of something and it relates to you and what's going on with you at that point in time type of thing. Like it was like a reel on Facebook and somebody was flipping angel cards and like, it was like, this is your message from your person. And it was just all good things. Just, you know that I'm okay on the other side and don't be sad. And it was just all good stuff. So is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's the same thing. They're Adoring Virtue has a set. This way, when you're doing, you know, your little charm, you can augment it with the cards. Okay. And as you begin to master that, then, you know, spirit will, you know, maybe guide you to something else. Cause you know, with me, the tarot cards are, you know, pretty much I can read them for the most part without them now. But my deal with the universe was I don't want extraordinary psychic powers when I'm not working. And so they said the deal then has to be you have a divining tool. So when the tarot cards are in my presence, my extraordinary psychic abilities might, you know, open up. But when I'm living my ordinary life, I only have the same amount of psychic, you know, power that anyone has. I'm not extraordinarily psychic at all. I have the same amount as everyone else. And people don't believe me. They think I'm lying. When I'm at a party, they want me to read them, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, I can't. It's impossible. I, you know, I'm not working. So, you know, really, I'm sorry. And anyway, and I say to them, I've been reading all week. I want to read you like about pins in my eyeballs right now. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's my deal with the universe because I want to live a normal life too. I have to learn my karmic lessons. I have to learn what I need to learn. If I have extraordinary power all the time, then
right.
I'm not going to learn like a human being. I'm going to learn in, you know, some extraordinary way, but I want a human experience. I want to learn my karmic lessons. So again, the universe will give you as much as you want. If you get scared, they'll usually back off. As soon as you have to say, this is too
right,
much for me, stop immediately. You have, people have more control over psychic abilities. I know a lot of times when you see mediums, they said they have it when they were little, they can't control it. That has never been my experience. Okay. I am in control of it. And again, with that glitch I told you, that's one time in 30 years, a glitch that was
yeah.
something extraordinary. I mean, it's kind of like driving for 30 years and, you know, a helicopter falls out of the sky and hits you. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, just, you know, I don't know, going about life, you're going to be, you know, hit by an asteroid maybe, okay? But, and again, But you know, I will tell you that my spirit guides were very careful to protect me. Had they not warned me to go to the emergency room, who knows what would have happened. Do you know what I mean? I was warned, I was told. And, you know, everything got down by the next day. So I'm glad that you called in. Call in again. We have a lot of listeners. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. Nicole has signed on. And,
yay.
You know, thanks for letting us talk a little bit about the psychic world because you don't often get to talk about that on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy.
Okay, we'll speak soon. Love you. Bye.
Love
okay.
you. Bye.
Now, Nicole, I see you have screened Teresa, but I'm going to go down to Donna because I promised Donna she's the 914-1241 that we would put her on tonight. So,
okay,
and
great.
How are you? Is everything okay, darling?
Everything was fine. I was just caught up working. I'm doing some designs for a friend of mine's business for some new merchandise. And I got caught up, and all of a sudden my wife came out of the shower and said, babe, do you not have the radio show tonight? And I looked up, and it was 10 after 7. So I completely just lost track of time, and my wife, thankfully, normally she's not here on Thursdays, and she was here to remind me. Otherwise, I would have been in the abyss of my brain, and I would not have seen what time it was until it was too late. So.
Okay, that was. I figured that's what it was. I wasn't even one bit distressed. I figured you're working, you'll be on any minute. I'm not a psychic for nothing. I do know, when I have to. I do know when I have to worry. Okay, you know.
Yes,
so normally, I mean, not in my own life again. If I wasn't here with the cards and doing everything, I might not be as confident you're fine. Do you know what I mean? But since I'm in a spiritual zone right now, in a psychic
yep.
zone, I'm like, no, she's good. She's fine.
Yeah, no, everything was good. It was literally just because, you know, this opportunity to design some merchandise kind of fell into my lap. And they wanted to move on it right away. So I'm jumping on it, and I'm already a couple days behind because I wasn't around on the weekend. So, yeah, it was just... you know, trying to get this done for most of my day, and I just got caught up and I missed the time. Usually I set an alarm and I forgot to set the alarm when I was
That's okay.
When
You're
I
forgiven.
Doing
it's
it,
so. All good. Okay. It's all good.
Well, thank you
okay?
very
you
much.
You didn't kill
love.
Anybody. You didn't kill anybody.
No.
Okay. So it's
not yet.
Nobody
not
died.
Yet.
You didn't take prisoners. It's good. You know? So let's see what Donna has to say tonight.
You got it.
How?
Hello,
how
Donna.
You
you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Donna. Thank you for calling in. How are you? Your beloved husband, soulmate, lover, best friend, guy,
yes.
was a little bit haunting me today in a good way. He's very funny, by
oh.
the way.
You got to tell me what he's doing to you because I got to later tell you what he's doing to me.
Well, because first of all, you know, he kept asking me in a funny way, what time is it? Is the show on now? Is
mm-hmm.
the radio show on now?
Mm-hmm.
I kept laughing. You know
mm-hmm.
what time it is, the planet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seemed to be saying that it was him who ghosted your mind and put the
oh,
thought
dear.
In your head to contact me. And you're
yeah.
psychic yourself because when you said you wanted to schedule a reading, and I telepathically said to you, just call in on the show. And then you said, maybe
yeah,
I should just
exactly.
go on in the show. So
yep.
I want you to know you heard me, Ghost Your Mind. So obviously you must be hearing him a lot, his thoughts.
Oh, my goodness.
Because
he's a
clear voice, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has
mm-hmm.
he been doing to you?
Okay, so I'll give you the Reader's Digest version because it was kind of a very long dream, but it was a very vivid dream. It's colors and scenery and smells and the whole thing. We were in a convertible car. He was in the front seat with a deceased friend, mutual friend, and the friend was driving, and his widow and I were in the back seat. And we were doing like a Thelma and Louise thing. We were out in the desert somewhere. And we stopped at a roadside gas station to use the facilities. They were gassing up the car. And when we came out of the bathroom, they were gone. So we went inside to the cashier and we said, "Did you see those two guys in that convertible?" And the guy said, "Yeah, he said to tell you that they went to Laurel Land and that they'll be back for you." So we're in the middle of nowhere in the desert, Angela and I, and we're not worried, you know, okay, they'll be back. And when I woke up, I for some reason picked up the phone and called Angela to tell Angela that her and her husband and, you know, my husband were in this dream we were having. And while we're on the phone with each other, she's Googling Laurel Land, which I've never heard of. And it's a cemetery.
Wow.
And it's a cemetery in Texas somewhere.
Yeah, can you see he's pretty funny? Could you get the little joke from these guys? And,
I did get the joke because after I researched it, I found out that Stevie Ray Vaughan is buried there.
Wow.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan, I would never know where Stevie Ray Vaughan is buried. I remember Stevie Ray Vaughan was one of his favorite performers.
Now, isn't that amazing?
The whole thing was bizarre.
And remember, that wasn't really a dream. That was an astral travel. Okay, and even though Angela didn't remember traveling, because sometimes mm-hmm. we don't remember, you know, mm-hmm. when we travel on the astral, she doesn't remember that she traveled with you, but she was smart enough to look up what the meaning was of the Laurel Town.
Sure.
But you actually traveled with them. Okay, and
yeah,
you were with them, and you
like
went on it like you like the way you said Thelma and Louise. You went on a great adventure with them, and
yeah,
they had fun. Remember, I told you, your husband is funny. Okay, he wanted you to enjoy the trip, and notice how you weren't scared when they weren't there. Like sometimes, it never took on a nightmarish quality. It took on they're not there, and you know, and of course
and
the joke was you're in the cemetery.
And it didn't have an abandonment feeling like he's left me. And, you know, how am I supposed to carry on without him? It was, he'll be back. He's on an adventure. And when my time comes, he'll come and get me. You know, I got that kind of a feeling from it.
And that's what he's trying to tell you. You enjoy
mm-hmm.
your journey. And they kind of wanted to prove death ends a life, not a relationship, that they're still there. Okay, and
he's telling you
that they travel down to Earth or they travel together oftentimes.
Yeah. He came on his 15-year anniversary at the time that this was happening. And I was thinking to myself at some point, these dreams or premonitions or whatever, you know, they're going to kind of subside and they're going to slow down. But this was so vivid. This was like I was in a Brad Pitt and, you know, Susan Sarandon movie. And
the play that I'm doing that's being done tomorrow night called The Menu was actually based
mm-hmm.
on a dream that I had, an astral travel that I had.
Really?
In other words,
really?
You know, these are things that, you know, you could write a little play about that. Do you know what I mean? It's a,
sure.
It's such an experience. It's such a, and of course, he wanted you to smile. And when
mm-hmm.
did you have this exactly? What day or what?
Um,
Well, I have his anniversary was the 19th, and that was his 15 year, and I had it like right before, so it we preceded it like the 15th or the 16th. I don't remember exactly when, but it was really to the point. It was extremely eye opening. But I love the way you said that.
Because now you really believe that he still exists and that
he still has energy
and he's still there, the consciousness. And that was a great gift he gave you. And relationships work in 5-year cycles. So you're at the, 15-year mark, 3 5-year cycles. Of course he would want to come show you something. And this is the year of the dream catcher and the soulmate, the year of the soulmate. So
is that right?
Of course he would make, yes. And of course he would make in the year of the soulmate, that he's around. And he's so glad that you remember it. And astral travel is something that's different from a dream because dreams are very vapory and they're stupid and half the time we want to remember them and they go away.
And they're gone.
Yeah. And astral travel stays with you all day and you remember great details of it because you are traveling. That's like if you were traveling to Rome on a bus. You would remember things, okay? Because it is the difference between an astral travel and a dream is that a dream you wake up and you feel like you really saw them. It's vividly clear, like you said, it has colors. It's clear,
I actually woke up with grit on my face, like sand on my face.
Wow.
But I can't tell you how that happened, but all I can tell you.
Now, you know what he did?
There's
always a little sand in everybody's house from on the bottom of their feet. So your husband would have had to blow it, maybe in the whole house, buried under a corner of this is that. dig up all the sand in the house and, have him
and
his little partner in crime bring it over and put it on your pillow.
And blew it like fairy dust,
Right.
But I do have another part of this question, and my question is, is it possible, and I don't want to sound like I'm out there in la-la land, but is it possible that they can manifest themselves where you can actually, while you're in waking time, see them, hear them, smell them? I mean, I know smell I've had, but there are times where I'll be in a farmer's market or something, and I'll actually see him cross a few aisles away from me walking.
And they're not supposed to technically do that, except if they're doing it out in public, it almost seems like a mirage. And it feels like a mirage, okay? He wouldn't do it just when you're alone in a house because it can be scary, he wants you to know he's down on earth and he's there with you.
Yeah, but I'm like, at what point does he disappear? At what point does he get his wings and stay up there and do what he's supposed to do from up there?
That's a good question, but they're allowed down on Earth 100 hours a month. They're literally permitted. If you're a good person, you don't let Hitler down on Earth, okay? if you were a good person and you worked hard, and it's good, if you were lazy as all hell, and all you did was party and do what you wanted, you don't get these privileges. But if you were a person that worked hard, almost too hard, and you didn't enjoy the downtime of life, like going to the farmer's market, going to the beach, sitting and relaxing with your family, they are permitted down to enjoy the things in life that they didn't get to enjoy. Or, they don't miss a family event, those kinds of things they're allowed to do.
Right.
So he chose to be there. When you're at the farmer's market, and he wanted to be there that day.
It wasn't like he was trying to get my attention or try to get me to follow him, or it was just almost like a breeze that just kind of went by two lanes away from me. Did you?
I have seen this, too. I saw it after my brother died, and I was on a subway in New York City. I saw him walking across, in front of me to get, not to get on a subway, but just to walk in front of me. So They usually do that in public because it doesn't scare us. It's kind of fascinating. And
yes.
Because they're really not supposed to manifest. Your husband didn't come to you. My brother didn't come to me, nor did your husband. He walked say horizontal or vertical where you could see him walking. But if they were to look like they're coming at us, it would scare us that we're dying. Because they do come for us when we're dying. So he followed the rules. They're not supposed to manifest. But if you do it in that way, it doesn't scare us. So he's just trying to teach you, and especially since you've been opening yourself more to this and wanting a little more science, and you're also getting older. As we get older, the veil between the two worlds does get thinner and thinner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are able to see more than we were permitted to see at 30 or 40. Okay, so it's just trying to get those worlds to feel closer. And not so far away.
It's funny that you said that he came to you and that he's quite a joker and a kidder.
Funny.
I still feel that. I still feel that in my dreams of him and my recollections of him, it's always him being, he was a Vietnam vet, so he's very grateful to be alive every day. And there was nothing that got him down.
Right. And, well, that's the thing. When you have done the true suffering of life, you don't become neurotic. Okay? Neurotic people are people that refuse to do the real suffering of life. And the biggest thing is that somebody gave you, iceberg lettuce instead of a different kind of lettuce in the restaurant. Okay?
Oh, that's the end of the world. That's the end of the world.
That's the end of the world. Okay? For people who have done the real suffering of life, it takes a lot to get them unglued. Okay, because you realize.
And I'll tell you something. After losing him, my priorities have been rearranged. And not only one of his famous quotes was, "Babe, is this the hill to die for? Let me know. I'll strap on my M16." And
wow,
I hear that all the time when I just feel like the hair on the back of my neck go up and I'm ready to jump on something or pounce on something, I'll be like, wait a minute, is this the hill to die for? And it actually has sedated me a bit, where my Sicilian temper is very minimal.
Wow. And can you see how he taught you that?
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
And, it's one of the things that, it's not even that these experiences make us stronger. They just make us more aware. Like in other cultures, there's a word that means it doesn't matter. In America, there's no word that means it doesn't matter because everything matters, okay? Like everything's a big deal. So one of the cosmic messages constantly coming from the other side to me is relax. Could you relax? I hear from spirit, 30 years of enlightenment training, Cindy, and you're still this uptight. The hell's the matter with you? Okay, they'll just say, this will work out, relax, take it down a notch. And so having met him, and he was very kind to me too today. He said, you have a busy day. I'm glad you're going to do the radio show. I'm glad I'm going to be on the show. And he was laughing, he's going to be a celebrity tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, he is also saying what I've been saying has been channeled from the other side, joy therapy. He wants you to have joy therapy. In other words, what you were doing for that little ride for him was joyful, a joy ride.
Right.
He used to like bowl from what I could tell, bowl and maybe, do different things. Like those are joy therapies. He wants you to do a little more joy therapy, read a book, garden, do something that's just for fun because most of the time people don't need deep psychological counseling after a while. I mean, talking to a therapist for 45 minutes about and bitching about your problems is not very therapeutic, if you ask me.
Oh,
why don't you take that 45 minutes and stop talking about that story over and over again? And,
exactly.
You'll go for a walk. Go sit outside in the sunshine. You might be surprised how that's
getting
a lot more therapy.
I've been finally putting on my big girl pants and traveling the world. So I've been experiencing other cultures and other foods and other people and other places. And I find that when my mind is open, that's when I am the most relaxed. So he comes along with me. I spiritually feel him on my back.
And he is also there because they get bored when we don't travel. They like to travel. Mm-hmm. So you can see he was trying to let you know he goes on the travels with you as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
And that also was his idea because humans are creatures of habit. We're like all OCDs with our habits. And when you go on a vacation and you experience different foods, a different culture, different way of life, it breaks those patterns of neurotic behavior or like, I have to do this, I have to do that. I mean, it's even, you know, when the Holocaust survivors would say, you know, in Vienna, they couldn't sleep without their feather pillow and their this and their blanket and that. They said when they were in Auschwitz, you know, they could put their head on the slab and sleep. You know, they were so tired. Like, and you know, the insomnia went away that, you know, unless everything
was
perfect.
One of the, that was one of the memories he brought back of being in Vietnam, was that he, all he needed was a dark, quiet place that he could rest. He didn't need a blanket or a pillow or a mattress because he just had that solitude and that peace and quiet to regroup.
Yeah,
so,
can you see,
that's
the whole point. We're not asking for people to go to war or experience atrocity. That's horrible. But we have to learn in life, you know, the little sufferings, the little things, you know. You know, I have clients that the slightest thing gets them unglued, and I'll keep saying to them, do you realize that God's going to give you more and more little whammies and big whammies until you stop?
Is this the hill to die for? That's the question. Is this your hill? Let me know. Yeah.
Chew it out.
I mean,
chew it out.
He had a way. He had a way to minimize everything. He did. Is this the hill? I'm not going to make a mountain out of it, but if it's your hill, I'll defend it for you.
and that's exactly it. So I think, you know, your husband said, it's funny because he did tell me, it'll be fun to talk to her, but there's some messages from Spirit for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That we would love to get out there tonight.
And you delivered it.
Okay. You delivered it.
Absolutely.
But you know, because we have the holidays coming now, Thanksgiving, Christmas stresses everybody out. Is everything perfect? Or the gift, blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to tell you, enjoy the holidays, enjoy the things, and don't stress yourself out about it. Because this is not what we should be stressing out about. So, you know, this becomes the season when people start getting frantic and hectic and, you know, crazy. So the dead
may I ask what cards appeared during our talk?
Now, it's funny because I got the Chariot card, which would signify, you know, you being the master of your destiny and you traveling. Okay, that's interesting. That you would have gotten. That's the first one. I also got the soulmate lover card, the lover card from you too.
That was the last one too. I got that one again.
You know, I got a number of worry cards, but it's not related to you or me. It's related to let's not worry about things that don't matter because that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Like let go of all that needless worry. And he gave me the Hermit card, which is look inward, spend some quiet time, the quiet therapy, the going inward, the finding that peaceful place card. Because actually, now he's been dead a while, and he keeps ascending, okay, which is good. It means he's doing his life review properly. He's doing good deeds on earth. He's helping on earth the way he's supposed to be. And as he's ascended higher, and he's several rungs higher than when I spoke to you the last time, and he was already in a high realm, is he's trying to be this sort of emissary of, like, peace and joy from the other side, love, peace, and joy. Okay, so if you could just, you know, spread some of what you learned from him around the world, I think it would be really, really,
it's ironic,
really helpful.
It's ironic you should say that. I just, around the same time I had that dream, I joined a Facebook private group called When We Became Widow Warriors.
Wow.
And And it's a private group, no men allowed, only women, some who have just become widows, some who have been widows a long time. And a lot of them are doing exactly what your callers do. And they say, is it unusual for me after 2 years to still be depressed or to still, and the comfort that they get from the answers have been helping me as well. But I've also shown some suggestions and have gotten positive feedback from that. So it's been very supportive for me as well.
Right, exactly. You know, the best way to, you know, learn is to share. It's the best way to, you know, teach, share your knowledge, and, you know, find comfort in, you know, talking about things that we oftentimes, you know, we're not supposed to talk about, that we still miss people after a long period of time or whatever, you know, you just need, but nobody really wants to hear it. So you need to have a space where you can safely talk about it and, you know, sometimes, you know, vent all different feelings. So also it was his idea for you to join that as well.
Okay, yeah. So I felt it because I never had an inkling to go to grief counseling, go to a church gathering, nothing until that happened. And I don't know, it was, there he was pushing his buttons again.
Well,
one last question.
He had some unhealed issues, whether you knew it or not.
Oh yeah,
you know,
and
the major
one is moving on. You know, and do I move on? How do I move on? Is he blocking me from moving on? You know, all of those questions that come with separation. And
no, he's
never
blocking.
Yeah.
You know, he certainly wants you to move on. You know, that's what he's saying. I definitely want you to move on.
Maybe that's why you left me at the gas station.
Yeah, like, go lady, go hit your ride somewhere else, honey. Find a ride, you know, find
go
a new guy,
Arizona.
Huh?
Go to Arizona.
You know, don't drive around with dead men, please.
No.
You know, go find a living flesh and blood one. You know,
there you go. There
and
you
remember,
go.
He wanted you to laugh, okay?
Yeah.
Wanted
yeah,
you
definitely.
To get joy out of it. Well, anyway, we have another caller that I want to try to get
Thank
to.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, of course. Call
please
in
give,
again.
Please,
especially if you get any
TJ
insights, or, you know, through your Facebook, you know, Widowed Warrior, if you get, you know, some great insight that you would like to share or some small insight
Absolutely.
That you would like to share.
Sure. Hey, give TJ my best, okay?
Okay, I sure will. Bye.
Bye
for now. Okay, Nicole, tell me about Teresa, please.
All right. Well, Teresa has called in before, Cindy, and she's really, really stressed out right now. Money is not looking too good for her. Business is not looking too good for her. So recently she had some coins that were left over that her dad had left her, and she bought a friend of hers to go and try to, you know, see about selling them. And, you know, by face value and what she knew of the coins, she should have had about $18,000 there. But, you know, when she went down with this guy, all of a sudden they offered her like $100. So she's not sure if they were just really trying to rip her off, meaning the company, whether or not the guy that she brought down, because he's constantly proposing to her and she has made it known that she's not interested, whether or not he's trying to take advantage of her or what have you. So she just needs a little bit of clarity here because, you know, she doesn't know if she should close up shop, you know, what's going on with the business and where she's going to get the money that she's kind of tight on right now. So here we go, out to Teresa. Hello, Teresa. You are on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi,
how
Teresa.
Are you?
That was just a coin collection. Are you talking about?
Well, it's part of a collection that my father had had been saving for a number of years, and I actually logged each one, looked each one up, and put the values down and of what they were. And I figured, I know that they have to make money, and I figured, okay, maybe they'll offer me half or, you know, or 70% or something like that. And it was honestly insulting. And I don't know. I was very upset over it because business is tight, and I figured if that was my little, you know, if I sold that and maybe it would help, you know, hold me over a little bit so that I could, you know, keep working on drumming up more business because obviously the economy is terrible. And I'm trying to do my best to hang on. And this was just like the wind out of my sails. I can't even.
You know, I think you were going to be willing to let them rip you off, okay? Like when you said, well, if they would give me half. So, I you know, your dad's just saying I wasn't going to let these guys sell it at all for you. So the fact that they were stupid enough to offer you such a little bit, you know, you just knew I'm not selling these, okay? He doesn't like the person who keeps proposing to the friend. He says, why do you keep this person in your life?
Well, he's a friend for a number of years. He's actually dying. He's got cancer, and it's not looking good
but
for him.
But why would he be someone who would so rip you off?
I think that he didn't – I don't think he believed the guy would rip me off. I think that – I don't know whether he actually was trying to manipulate me into needing him. Because as he sat down, he said, well, what size diamond do you want? You know, which one would you want? He thinks that we
all
are
right,
meant to be together.
Let's get a second opinion on this. I would just go to – now, again, is this a coin collection or is it gold coins? What is it?
Oh, it's, oh my God. There's got to be – I can't tell you how many, like a suitcase full. There's half dollars, silver dollars, a lot of American, a lot of foreign. Some of them are worth quite a bit, according to what I found, and some of them obviously
but
are.
But even, it seems like the $100 would just be the actual face value of the coins. It doesn't even seem like.
Can I tell
maybe,
you, the face value of the coins is way more than that.
That's
you know,
what I was
even,
saying. So how could they offer you $100 when the face value of the coins
is $100? He was being insulting. He was being, he was horrible. The guy was being
insulting. So your father said, bring it elsewhere, okay? Go to a legitimate coin, you know, company, okay? Because, you know, this is ridiculous. So your father said, that's a little heads up warning you that you got to watch out for people because they'll, you know, rob you blind if they can. Okay. Now, he's more concerned with your business right now. Now, you're saying you're not sure if you want to close it up at this point?
No, I don't want to close it. I'm fearful. And I'm trying not to be. I don't want to manifest bad thoughts, but I'm very afraid because it's just not picking up fast enough. And I am putting myself out there and trying to sell and making appointments. I got an appointment on Monday to talk to people and try and drum up more business. And I'm just afraid right now. And I've never been this afraid, but I'm afraid. I have to admit it.
Okay. And that's why, you know, what your dad is saying right now is, and you can't keep saying things like the economy is terrible because it's, you know, that's very subjective. For some people, it's a very good economy. When you say the economy is terrible, you're going to bring in no abundance. So I don't want to hear you say that anymore, okay? You just need clients, okay, with money, okay? Okay? Like, I don't care what the economy is doing. We need clients that have money, okay? And, it just looks like a little more marketing. How are you marketing this now? Have you changed to, you know, fit the new world, the way things have to be marketed?
I can't even begin to tell you. I have purchased new, try and put feelers out there. I have a new marketing program. I try and do a little bit online as far as, you know, I have a Facebook page with for the business. It's very difficult because my targets are attorneys and lenders and stuff. And sometimes, you know, regular people, if they know enough that they know that they have, you know, control over who they want to utilize. But, you know, I mean, it's very, very difficult because right now the housing market is not where it should be. So the amount of business from my clients is not enough to sustain me. So I have to get more clients and I'm working on that. I keep going, yep. And you know, and I'm putting out feelers. I'm actually going out and cold calling. I'm trying to make appointments. I'm trying to figure out how I can, get things going with all these different, new clients. But it's hard because I have too much integrity. I think that's half my problem. A lot of people, do pay under the table for the business, and I just don't do that. And that's basically where I think I'm failing.
Okay. And I would say you're not going to change your sense of integrity here, okay? But put it, the cards as I'm shuffling them, it looks like, the business can do much better in the very near future. Ask your dad for help, please. Ask him to, guide clients your way and people your way. But really what is that, the whole thing with the coins is a little bit of a waking dream. If we get negative, we're going to just be ripped off all over the place. Okay. And,
Positive when I went in, I was like, wow, I'm going to get this money. It's going to hold me through. I'm going to be fine. I was like looking forward to it. And I was supposed to go yesterday and it didn't work out. And then he took me today. And I felt that if I went with him, with Frank, he would have been, if I went with him, he would have, pretty much the guy would not try to rip me off. And whether or not the guy, he believed the guy. So I was just
first of all, do you know the actual face value of the coins? Because
I have it all logged and written down. Yeah.
So what does it really add up to, the face value?
$17,700
and something
dollars.
The face value, not what
this is a small amount. Oh, no,
not
the face
telling
value.
You, not
I'm
not
sorry.
What they say the coin is worth.
Yeah. I would have to go through that because there's quite a few.
Because I don't think he even offered you the face value, like you said, which is...
No,
I mean,
he didn't.
If you come into a store with $300 worth of coins, they're going to give you $100 for the coins? I mean, regardless if there's any special coins in there, what kind of drugs is this person on?
A lot of it was silver. These are silver coins. It was mind-blowing. It really was.
Right. And, again, with you, I see better things coming up in the next, few months. Don't dwell on this person ripping off, but I would go to a reputable coin dealer, and not some, one that has a storefront because, you got to maintain a storefront. You got to be making some kind of living, legitimately. And, your dad is just saying he will help you with your business. It doesn't look like you should even think about closing or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Good, because I don't want to. It's all I know.
No. And are you networking a little bit too?
I'm trying to do that, yes. And like I said, I have an appointment on Monday. I actually put a bid in. This is going to sound awful, but it bothers me. I put a bid in. The bids were all due on August 11th, for the town of Hempstead, and I put it in. And I went to the interview, and they really liked me, and I spoke to this person back and forth, and he's like, yes, you did a really good job. He basically told me that, I got it pretty much, congratulate yourself, so to speak. But, there is one other bid that someone's trying to put in that they were hospitalized and incapable of putting it in at the regular time, and they were going to give this person consideration. Well, this is now from August 11th till now, and I said, if this person is not capable of submitting a bid at this period of time, given the period of time, how is this person supposed to service you? I said, I sent in a letter basically saying, I certainly hope, I think it's wonderful that you actually, gave consideration to someone else to submit a bid afterwards. I certainly hope this is not going to be to my detriment, and I hope that, you will reach a determination, and could you possibly let me know what that determination is? because this is since August now for work for the town. And
yeah, we know the town in Hempstead moves like snails. Okay.
Yeah, and I also know that the part of it is federally funded, so they have to go through those channels as well. But
and remember, it's a government project. It's a government project, okay? They're not known for moving fast. Yeah, but
well,
you can ask your dad
something
to help speed some things up, okay? Ask your dad for that help. You know, he seems to be pretty able to help with things like that. But, you know, you do have, you know, the Ace of Pentacles card, which was the first card I picked, and you have the Four of Pentacles was the second. Four of Pentacles is worrying about money. Ace of Pentacles is getting the money you want. So instead, you know, try to watch negative thoughts, because the negative thoughts sabotage the laws of attraction. Okay?
Right.
Like, just,
I'm trying
you
not
know,
to. That's why
I know. When,
I'm
it's hard not to. It's hard not to. I'm not like judging you on it. It's hard not to, when we're in a slump, not to be negative. Okay. Like that's kind of the natural, that's a natural response. Right. But it does sabotage the laws of attraction as we say things like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's people that always have money. Doesn't matter what the economy is doing. They got a lot of money. Those are the kind of people you want to come your way. And, you know, your cards aren't bad. The bad cards are a lot of worry and anxiety cards. So it's more in your head that, and I know it's real, the money situation, but I want you to stop worrying so much and, you know, move forward with, you know, try one thing, try another thing. You know, keep trying, you know, different avenues of things.
Okay.
You know, your father just is very funny. He goes, why don't you tell the guy what kind of diamond you want? He's dying anyway. Get the diamond. Your father's funny. He said, you're worried about money? Get the diamond. Okay? Remember you said you have too much integrity?
I couldn't take advantage of someone like that.
I'm saying you have too. Your father said, "Yeah, she's got too much integrity." And I'm going to say, "Buy me the diamond, you know? Give me the diamond, you know?" So your father's just he has a good sense of humor. Your dad, he's really funny, you know. Again, he did want you to laugh a little bit, okay? And just know that he is around, he's watching over you, and he's helping. Okay, so, you know, we're just going to be almost at the end of our show. So, again, if you didn't get anything else out of this reading, just watch your words and be more proactive to make positive change and, you know, go after those clients where the money is. Do you know what I mean? Like, find them, get them, and ask your dad.
I certainly will.
Okay, ask your dad.
My mother's birthday was Halloween.
Oh, isn't that funny? Wow.
Yes.
So you must feel her around Halloween. Did you get any hits on her that day?
You know, it's funny because I've been thinking about her. I really felt very this is the first time in the 5 years she's gone that I actually – it really was depressing to me. It really hit me hard this time. I don't know why, but more so than usual.
You
know?
Well, I think it's because you're a little in a slump yourself, so it makes everything even, you know, more acutely painful.
I think so.
Well, anyway, they're going to knock us off the air. Thanks, Teresa, for calling in. You know where we are when you need us. Let us know. I think you're going to get something good.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you
thank
so much.
You.
Okay, bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, so we had a gamut of all different kinds of things tonight.
We did.
All around. I guess it's because it's close to Halloween, too, so it's a little more, you know, a little more of this would go on. So I hope you finish your project tonight. Thank you for coming on when you did. I really appreciated it.
Of course. I never leave you hanging on purpose, Cindy.
I know, and you know, it's funny because I was just going to ask, you know, Jean or someone to message you when you, you know, when you came on.
What's funny is that Andrew messaged me while, and he goes, did you forget it was Thursday? He goes, but I'm sure Jean already texted you.
Right, but isn't that funny? Because I know when I say to them, Nicole's not here, I know one of them will text you, and I don't have to do it. You know what I mean? They're like my secretarial staff. Well, good night, everybody.
9 out of 10 times it's Jean. This time it was Andrew.
Wow. Well, everyone, enjoy your evening. Bye for now. We'll speak next week.
Bye-bye.